Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, we'll let you do that next week, okay? Hallelujah. I'm just trying to slide my commercial announcement there. Hallelujah. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah 60. Because Anna did an awesome job on, Wednesday night. I mean, it seems like a lifetime ago to me, but it was Wednesday night. And she did an awesome job, and she ended with that scripture. I'm going to start with that scripture because I'm going to speak the end from the beginning. Okay? Because that's what the Lord does. He speaks to you about the end from the beginning. And so today, I just want you to understand that it's time to rise and shine. It's time to rise and shine. And it says right there, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Man, I've been through such an emotional ringer this morning already. Just because we came in here in pre-service and we began to just worship and pray. And I've been to the top of the mountain and I've been just weeping with my face as fast forward in the carpet as I could get. I've been in both ends already in one morning. So, hallelujah. So hopefully I just get through this. And it says here, for behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, Father's house. He will rise upon you, Houston, Texas. He will rise upon you, United States of America. And His glory will appear upon you. And the nations shall come to your light. And the nations shall come to your light. And the nations shall come to your light. And what we've been hearing and what we've been learning is how to become the light of God. How to stand with Him and how to let the light of God begin to permeate us. And as it begins to permeate us, we begin to share it out. As we begin to permeate us, then we begin to stand and we begin to stand over a space and declare what the light of God is going to do in that space. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're releasing this morning. Because there's a time, it's a time, this is a time like no other for us to become the light, church. It's a time for us to be the light, church. Because there's so gross darkness out there. There's some gross darkness out there, and that gross darkness needs to stop. But we need to declare the light, and we need to just understand we have the authority to make a difference. We have the authority to make a difference in our house. We have the authority to make a difference in our nation. And it's time that we do so. It's time that we declare who we are. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the word says that we're known by what? Our fruits. Yes. And we're known and we are disciples because of our love for one another. Faith has works too. Hallelujah. But because we're known as disciples because of our love one for another. That's the thing that distinguishes us. That's the thing that marks us. But it marks us in a pleasant way. It marks us in a good way. And it causes us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Hallelujah. So let me just say, Isaiah 60 didn't just occur just in the middle of nothing. I'm gonna back you up in just a minute. I'm going to back you up in just a minute, but I want to explain something. Right now, we're being presented with information that is just not the way life is. Okay? We're being presented with information out there. And when I was in the world of computers, when the very first thing they teach you about computers is that everything comes down to a binary decision. A binary decision. It's either going to be a one or a zero. It's a yes or it's a no. And they make every problem into a binary decision that has to be a yes or a no. But I'm telling you that life is not always like that. Because see, if you're looking at just a binary decision, then things like if you're Hispanic, then you're expected to be Catholic or you expect to be Baptist and there's no other choice. Hello? That's not right. Now, we can't be, in other words, the binary thing is the way that the world likes to describe our life. They're trying to present a picture out there that says either you're for us or you're against us. Instead of allowing you to sort through the details and find out what's true and what's not, they don't want you to accept the whole thing or you're not part of us. That's just not the way life is. That's just not the way the reality and truth is. We need to stand with God and we need to stand with truth. And we need to stand with truth for every person because every person has a right to truth. Every person has a right to justice. And we need to understand those things. We need to know what He's doing in our life and be able to express it because it's more than just a one or a zero. It's more than it's a right or a left. It's got to be something that God is doing to change our hearts. Oh, da, 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 da. Let me just say, we're stepping into a season right now of unity. Of unity. We're stepping into a season as a church of unity. There's an opportunity for us to step in as a nation of unity. There's an opportunity for us to step in. But I will tell you that unity does not mean conformity. Unity does not mean uniformity. In other words, we're not all having to express and look exactly the same way. We're not all having to express and be exactly the same character. Why? Because He needs you to be who you are in the space you're in. And it's in that, that's the how you can change the space you're in. Hallelujah. Sha-da-da-da. That's just the warm-up. Sha-da-da-da. Okay. So give me a listen. Oh, by the way, I cleaned that carburetor out, and the acceleration is much, much better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shambada da 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 da. You can. I'll hold the keys. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. That's been a joy. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got off on that, but that's because that's not at all. I'm trying to stall. Because here's the deal, okay? Here's the deal, is that over the last few weeks, the current event that is happening is that a man, George Floyd, was murdered. We can look at it any way you want, but we have to understand, at the bottom line is, he was murdered. It wasn't, what was done was not right in any way, form, or fashion. It was not done by what the book says to be done. I want to approach this subject because, and I know this, I know that there's a word for it, but I won't use that word in church. But I'm going to tick some of you off, okay? Tick some of you off. But the deal is the truth has to be spoken, and we need leaders who will stand up and lead. We need leaders who will stand up and go and say, hey, this is right, this is wrong, and declare what is going on. And then we also need to have places where we can formulate an actual plan and an actual strategy, and that's where you come in, because the things that we've been learning are the things that are going to power pack us to do something about this situation. Because this man should not have died in the way that he did. He should have had the opportunity to grow old and with his family. He should have had those opportunities. I know what that pain looks like. I cannot tell you what it means to be black, but I can tell you what that pain looks like. And I've been in that situation. Our family has been in that situation because my brother-in-law's brother was shot and killed because of a domestic dispute. When the police arrived at the house, they didn't even try to de-escalate it. They just looked through the window and shot him. And that was the end of it. And because it happened in Baytown, there's no other recourse. It's wrong. It was wrong for George. It was wrong for Charlie. It's wrong regardless of how it happens, when it happens. And I know statistically that it doesn't happen all that often. We were looking at 229 individuals for 2019. That's 229 individuals too many. We can do better as a society. But we're not going to change this by just purely legislating it. We have to change hearts. We have to change minds. We have to change our lives. And we began to stand together in unity and in oneness, because in unity and oneness, we can make the difference. But that means we first have to be able to step into that space and own it and have a conversation and not be afraid of the conversation. And so when we step into that conversation, we can begin to have the opportunity to actually express what needs to be expressed. I have a great heart and sympathy, and my heart goes out to that family, because I've had to look at a mama and know that she's not, her son's not coming home. To look at two little children to know that daddy's not going to be there to play baseball with you. I've done those things. But the same thing is that we have a nation that has so much to offer. We have a nation that has done so much and lives like no other nation. But we have to recognize it and value what is good, and then change and have the courage to address what is not. To do that, we have to acknowledge that what happened was murder. You can't stand there, sit there for 8 minutes and not be aware. People tried to get him off. Even one of the cops even tried to get him off. And it didn't happen. That is not justice. The thing is, I've met lots and lots of good cops. But these four, they violated their oath to us, the people. They violated that sacred trust that they're given to protect a people, because that people that they're supposed to protect included George. It included Charlie. The people that they're supposed to be having charge over and protecting, they ignored. I have known some really wonderful cops. I've also known a couple who had a God complex. Those need to be ferreted out of our system. We need to thin them out. We have wonderful people who are upstanding people here in our congregation. But we need to ferret out what's not good. We need to protect the ones who are vulnerable, the ones who need our protection, and that includes all of us. Because, you know, there's some out there, I'm very aware, some people are trying to use this situation for their own end. But we can't miss the baby with the bathwater. We can't miss what is a valid issue because of all the anger and the angst and all the other things that are happening. That stuff needs to stop. Everyone needs to call out. You know, the family is actually calling out for the violence to come to an end. The family doesn't want that because they believe George was to be a man of peace. He said he's a man, first of all, of peace. So therefore, they need to recognize that we need to recognize that and not connect his name to all this violence. We need to stand up against injustice wherever it happens. The problem there is that all the burnings and all that stuff, that's just as wrong, and we need to not be afraid to declare it. That's why I'm telling you up front that the world is not binary. I don't have to accept that to recognize, I don't have to accept the violence to recognize that the other stuff is not good. I'm here to say that each and every person has the right to life in the United States. Unless, well, I understand. That's the next battle, but that's a different battle. That has to be a primary thing in our understanding with one another. That's because that's what draws us. You know, duality is it's community that makes us strong. It's community that makes us strong. But that community needs to be made up of just more than just me and my four or just somebody who looks like me. Because when that community becomes bigger than just what looks like me, now that community can thrive. I come from a Germanic people. Okay, they were mostly Germans. Few English are thrown in there, here and there. That's where I get my name. But the rest of it is all Germans. Okay, that comes with some problems. Okay? It comes with some problems. But they're here. See, the deal is that I could, you know, we do tend to congregate in places where there are other people like us. When people leave to the United States, the Germans moved to a few particular spots, but I can tell you, right, growing up in a Germanic community, I can totally identify with people who experienced things in Texas that were fitting, 900 miles away from where I grew up. But the things that they experienced were just so like what I experienced. There's nothing wrong. It's not prejudiced or racist to congregate with people that you know, but it cannot be to the exclusion of everything else. It can't be an exclusion. Well, I had notes, and haven't addressed the notes. Here, let's do this. Because, see, I'm first and mostly a person who likes to address solutions. I have solutions. But first is reckoning and recognizing what the situation is. Let me say this. Prejudice is coming from fear. Because I don't know you and I don't know what you might do to me. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable, but there's very something wrong with being prejudiced. I need to be able to accept somebody else, including their differences. You know what makes a marriage work? Is the differences. It's the differences. Because she's different than me. Because I honor that. Because I recognize that. And I recognize those differences can be a help. Right, Noe? Hallelujah. I recognize those differences can be a help. Those differences can make the difference in my life. They can make the difference in where I go. I can tell you, I would not be the man I am without the differences that Kim brought to my life. I would not be the man I am without the differences that Enrique brought to my life, or that Tina has brought to my life, or that Victory has brought to my life, or different ones of you have brought things. Man, as I look across this room, there are so many people of different, every tribe and nation who've brought something to my life. We are a multicultural, multiracial assembly. Because God has declared it that way, He's made it that way, and we were intentional to embrace it. But in order to embrace it, we have to grab onto what's here and have to value why we're here. When we value why we're here, when we value each other, when we value those things, now we can all make a difference together. I know this is probably a little uncomfortable for a few of you, and I know that here's, well, let me just say this. I don't know of anybody who's out and out racist in this congregation. All right? I know that there was one, and he's not here anymore. Okay? I'm going to just call it like it is. All right? Because it's not a secret for those who already understand. But the deal is what we have to know is that sometimes it's not enough to just not be racist. We have to stand up and support and understand where somebody's coming from. Recognize where they're coming from. Recognize what they bring to the party. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to that more in a moment. But let's not let somebody's anger, somebody's frustration, somebody's misuse. I understand there are people who are trying to unseat Trump. There are people who are just out there for their own reason. There are people out there with truly a socialist agenda who want to just disband and defund all the cops. Why? Because that puts them in power. Let's not be stupid. Is that blunt enough? We don't throw out everything just because of one incident. We do need to rebuild something, and we need to stand together, but we don't throw it all away. Exactly. Don't burn down my house or anybody else's house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's go to Isaiah 58. I've been holding you on that process and promise there for a little bit. And it says, there's a from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths and streets to live in, the restorer of the places to dwell. This is a call for true intercession. True intercession. This body, like no other, has been taught how to intercede, how to go into the heavenlies, and how to interact with a holy God. Because you know what? Our option, or our operation here is to actually show the world what Father looks like. Because when we show the world what Father looks like, you know, then it's going to look different than what it did before. There's much that's in America that's good. But we need to show them what Father looks like. Because this nation has gotten away from our foundation. We need to restore that ancient foundation. We really need to restore what was holy and righteous and good. We need to restore that which was good, that which was beautiful. They need to restore that which protected liberty and life. That which made each and every individual equal. Hallelujah. Shandaba. One more shout out. Quit letting politicians and the media divide you. Hello? Can we just make up our minds today to quit letting the politicians and the media divide us? They don't need to be dividing us. They don't need to be separating Christians from the rest of the world. They don't need to be separating white and black and Hispanic and everything else. They don't need to be separating anything out there. They need to stand up and answer to us. Am I speaking my mind? I want America to know that there's a God out here who makes a difference. He makes us look different. He makes us act different. And he makes us love different. I want George's family to be able to find that place of forgiveness and wholeness and wellness. But I also want for those four men to answer to what they did. I want those four men to come and repent before America and repent before that family and repent before all their brothers and sisters who are cops because they let down every other cop in the nation. It's time to heal the land. It's time to insist on it. Hallelujah. He was talking about, oh, I didn't get there yet. I'm torn. I'm gonna read something here real quick. I have it over here. And by the way, if you're online and you want to send me a note here, I will try to get to it and read it and respond to you. If you want to call me names, I'm not going to respond to you. But if you have a legitimate question, I'll address it, okay? I'll make this interactive if I can. Glory to God. But here, NIV of Hebrews 11 and 33 says this, who by faith, okay, this is what's this being addressed? This is the people who are in the Hall of Fame. Our Hall of Fame. The Faith Hall of Fame. Okay? And in the Faith Hall of Fame, it says here in the NIV, who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice and gained what was promised and shut the mouths of the lions. Shut the mouths of the lions. It's time to shut the mouths of the lions. It's time to administrate justice. It's time to insist on justice be done. The justice and everybody who's up there answers to justice. All the politicians need to answer to justice. Those four need to answer to justice. We as Americans, we all need to answer to justice. Hallelujah. Okay. But here, see, you'll notice that I'm still in Isaiah 58, but verse 6. See, is this not the fast which I chose? I'm about to jump out of my skin here. I don't know, guys. So this is not the fast that I chose to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. To break every yoke. That's how we get to become intercessors, is we begin to get serious about breaking the yokes. We get serious about breaking these things down. We get serious about letting go, letting the oppressed go free and loosing the bonds of wickedness. I can tell you that there was one man, Moses, who stood up when he was standing before a whole nation that was sinning before God. And he stood up in front of God and God in God's face and said, no, you can't do that. If he can do that to God, why can't we do that to our politicians? If he can do that to God, if he's got the courage to do that to God, and I almost said something else, but he's got the courage to say to do it to God, I think we can stand up to our politicians. I'll leave those thoughts alone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. See, verse 7 goes on to say, and not hide from your own flesh. Because see, sometimes we're hiding from our own flesh. Because, you know, my silence doesn't cost me nothing. But it costs me everything. If I stay silent, it's going to cost me everything. If I stay silent, it's going to cost me my freedom. But most of all, it cost me my position with God, because he's the one who asked me to do this, because I wasn't excited about doing this. But if I don't do it, then it cost me my position with him. And you need somebody who'll stand up and be a leader. You need somebody who'll stand up and recognize what God is saying and release a place of truth and release a place of unity, release a place of wholeness for this assembly and this nation. I know it's not going to make everybody in the world out there happy. Happy. You know what? That's their problem. I hope this is going out on Facebook, because I stand for what I'm saying. I stand for what I'm saying. Oh, yes, Lord. Let me just... Galatians 5 and 13 tells us, for brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Brothers and sisters, we can't use this liberty that we have in the United States, this liberty we have to go and abuse somebody else. It's not okay. We need to stand in love. We need to stand together, but we do it and do what's right. We stand up for what's right. We stand up for what's honorable and pure and holy. Don't be afraid of what the government might say, what your neighbor and all the rest of it might say. Hallelujah. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That's more than just waving at them when you leave the neighborhood. Hey, you know what? You can even give them the space at the stop sign, okay? But it's more than that. When we start preferring one another, that means we're willing to ask ourselves the tough question so that they may not have to. I've been, for 10 days now, the Lord's been saturating me in this thing. Because I see the problem, I see the distress, I see a nation in upheaval, I see people trying to do changes to this country because of this thing that are not holy or not good for anybody except a few. You know, if you get rid of all the cops, you're going to have total anarchy. And total anarchy only gives two or three or four control. Everyone else will be under their thumb, be worth nothing. Everything that we've honored will be gone. We need to understand what's at stake here. Hebrews 10, verse 24. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Yeah, there's a provocation. There's a provocation to doing the right thing. There's a provocation to setting an example. There's a provocation to leading him into the house of God. There's a provocation to leading him into the presence of God. There's a provocation to draw them near and bring them into a place of fellowship so that they can get to know a God who's holy. And it says, forsaking not the assembly. I have nothing wrong with a peaceful assembly. There's nothing wrong with a peaceful assembly if it's for the purpose of gathering the people to make known the purposes of God. Let me get the words out straight. A peaceful assembly that makes known the purpose of God. That sets forth an actual path of justice. That sets forth an actual heart of justice. You know, we've come a long, long way in this United States. When my mom was in college, she went to a college that was totally white until one lady showed up, was brave enough to show up to college. And everybody ignored her. Until my mom, when she came in the cafeteria, my mom went and grabbed her and pulled her down and pulled her over there and gave her a seat at the table. Yeah, she was afraid to come in the cafeteria and get anything to eat because it was all white. That's not the way things are supposed to be. We've come a long way since then. We need to be providing a seat at the table. We need to be doing those things. Because why? Because there's still a need. I understand the statistics that, yes, 55% of the people out there who get shot by a cop are white. But what you have to look at is that 23% of them are black and only 13% of the Americans are black. That means more than twice as likely to get shot. That's not a good statistic. Let's look at the wholeness of the problem and embrace the solutions that God provides for us. Glory to God. Oh, shut up. But that's going to take something. That's going to take humility. Going to take humility. It's taken humility out of me all week because I've sorted through all this stuff. I saw stuff that I didn't want to look at because I needed to be able to convey to you a whole picture. I heard stuff I didn't want to hear, but I had to convey to you a whole picture. I'm not saying you have to do all that research. I'm saying you just have to turn your heart to Him. First Peter 5:5 tells us that God just resists the prideful, but He gives grace unto the humble. He gives grace unto the humble. Let's all humble ourselves and begin to reach across any aisle that we see in our heart. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to start into the solutions and wrapping it up. Galatians 6. Because I will not leave you with just a bunch of problems. The newscasters already did that. Hello? Anybody can shout out for the fake news? Glory to God. Okay. Now somebody's going to take that one word and make that into a quote. This is what this pastor believes. Huh? Goodness gracious. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Show us in truth. Show us in wholeness. Show us in unity with one another instead of divisiveness. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. It's not the overt prejudices that are killing us in the United States anymore. It's the unwillingness for us to bear somebody else's burden. It's the subtle disparities that cause us to overlook things that shouldn't be overlooked. If a black man goes running through my neighborhood, it's going to cause an uproar. But what if he's just out for a jog? No one would think twice about it. I've never been stopped running through my neighborhood. I probably should have been so I didn't hurt myself. But I've never been stopped running through my neighborhood. You know what? I wasn't even stopped running through the neighborhood in Third Ward. Although I might have been. By the cops. Because there's only one reason a white boy goes there, right? I shouldn't have told that story. People are already building their case. But the deal is that we should see this and recognize the truth of it and recognize that it's wrong. We should recognize the truth that somebody was hurt, somebody was killed, somebody was murdered, and recognize that it's wrong. Without all the rest of the drama that's happened, we should see it and it should stand for itself. Because why? Because we're willing to recognize and look at the world around us through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of compassion and a heart of compassion. And because we have a compassion for what God is doing in somebody else's life and what might be happening in some other family. Because we want to represent righteousness. We want to represent light wherever we go. And we want to stand for that which is light. You know why prejudice can exist? Because we trust stereotypes more than we trust God. What's the thought that goes through somebody's mind when they see the black man running through the neighborhood? It's a stereotype. He's got my CD player and he's gone. That's not what is supposed to be happening in our thought. In my heart. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I'm trying to enlighten us and cause us to look a little deeper. Look a little harder. And recognize that a good friend of mine, he wants to have his wife with him when he walks through his neighborhood because it makes him feel safe. And it ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. It shouldn't be something that's a requirement. Now that fear, there's two sides of that. That fear is somewhat built on stereotypes too. Because statistically, it's not that big of a deal. But it's still a fear. My job as a white person is to help them embrace truth and healing and to be an agent for them to have that freedom from that. Their job is to recognize this fear doesn't have to stay in my life. It doesn't have to be that way. I don't have to acknowledge or stay in the stereotypes. And then they have to begin trusting God that He'll make a way. We all have to be trusting God. He'll make a way. I may not say all this right, but I can tell you I'm coming from the heart. We need to recognize that we are family. Sister Sledge had it right all along. We are family. All my sisters and me. You want to come help me? No? Okay. I thought this was pretty good for just an a cappella moment. So, but see, until we recognize we're families, because what makes families heal? Families heal because they have conversation. And when we engage the conversations and we have a creative safe zone, I tell every couple that when I'm getting, you know, when I'm in the process of helping them through marriage counseling or helping them through premarital counseling, create a safe zone where anybody can say anything and it's okay. Because if I can do this in my family, now I can build a place of trust. And when I build a place of trust, now I can have a place where I can be heard. And if I can be heard, maybe I don't do some of the other things I was going to do. But at the same time, if I can be heard, I have some confidence that you got my back regardless. That's what we need to build. Glory. Next is we need to recognize that this United States is a republic. That means that every governmental official works for us and not the other way around. We are to stand up and say, you work for me and that's not what I want. You don't get to boss me around because that's not what I sent you there for. I sent you to represent me, not boss me. Until you represent me, you're going to have to go away. If enough of us stand up in unity, they got to listen. I'm meddling in every area. Here's the thing. I got two more points here. This is my major point. We're all made in God's image. We are all made in God's image. And when I see the victory is made in God's image, I see that Tina is made in God's image. I see that Carlos is made in God's image. And I hold to that and I hold on to that. Then there's nothing else that's going to come between us. If I start doing that, then I start recognizing when I understand that they're made in God's image. I see that and I recognize that if I love the God in them, I can love them. And then if I'm loving the God in them, God dwells in me. First John 4:12 says, if I love one another, God dwells. If we love one another, God dwells in us. When I look at somebody and I recognize that no matter what I might see or what I might be dealing with at this moment, God dwells in this person. And that has value. And if I begin living for that value, I begin to contributing to that value, I've just now become a solution to our problem. But it means we have to change what we see. It means I have to change what my heart's going to look at. When I was in junior high, I had been raised in an environment that was Germans and English. I didn't know black people. I had one person who, in our entire town, who came to my school, was black. Far as I could understand, we were exactly alike, except his head felt different. And once that happened, then that was the end of the difference. When I moved, and we moved into the deep south, and then when I went to junior high, the junior high I went to, was mostly black and Hispanic. So I understand what it means to be a minority. I understand what it takes. I understand what it means to get beat up just simply because you look different. Just because you showed up. Because I was looking to get my books because I forgot something. And I was in the wrong hallway at the wrong time. Because I was walking in a place where they decided that I shouldn't walk. And I was in a place that I shouldn't have been. Not because it shouldn't have been a problem, but because they decided it was a problem. I understand those things. But if I let that be the thing that changes my life, I've missed what God has for me. When I got saved, I carried that anger for a long time. And I'm not proud of it. When I got saved, I met this woman named Oma who would not leave me alone. She would not leave me alone. She worked in the bookstore over at Bread of Life with me. And she took my prejudiced, ugly self and she kept loving me. And she kept sharing her heart with me and with my two boys. Until one morning I woke up and I realized I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I have to embrace this. And I have to embrace everything that this means because I have some ways I have to change. And I let those ways change. And today, most of my friends have one ethnic or another, almost everybody. because there's something in my heart changed. That's what God is looking for us to accomplish. Sometimes it's one person at a time. Sometimes it's a whole group. But it's up to us to be the change makers. It's up to us to do what Oma did for me and continue showing love no matter how many times I continue to reject her. I wasn't overt about it, but I was like, You know what you do? You got that wall. I had the wall. It's like she'd come around. I see her coming, you know. I see her coming. I'd put the wall up. Nope, you ain't getting past this. Nope. She didn't let that wall stop her. We got to be people who don't let the wall stop us. Hallelujah. And finally, John 20, verse 17. See, Jesus understood something. In the Old Testament, you don't see God being represented as Father. We want to get to the core of the issue. We got to restore fatherhood. Jesus represented the Father. Jesus restored the Father. Jesus, everything he was doing was about restoring Father. You know, in John, the book of John, he caught this, and 111 times he refers to God as Father. You know, before the Jews knew him as Lord, they knew him as the I Am. They knew him as the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah everything else. But they didn't know him as Father. Jesus came to announce and to represent Father. And that's our job in this generation, because that's how we shift. That's how we show him love. When we embrace the Father that we're meeting, the Father we're encountering, and we allow that Father image that we're encountering to rub off on us so we can rub it off on somebody else. Everything that we're learning here is about embracing this Father of love so we become vessels of love. And as we become vessels of love, we become vessels that are tuned and responsive and ready to be released everywhere they go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paint the world. Paint an image in our hearts. Pastor was speaking about painting an image in your heart. I'm painting an image of a world without prejudice. I'm painting an image of a world that understands and references the Father and is willing to share who he is with another. I want to see those things changed and shifted. Why? Right back to Isaiah 60. So we can all arise and shine and be the glory carrier. God has called you as glory carriers. It's time to arise and shine. We can do that even right now. Rise and shine. Because, oh, you had something. Okay. I want to just recognize, I thank you. It's been a serious subject. It's been seriously on my heart. And I want you to understand, it's time to rise and shine. Let's let the light out. Let's let the light out. The light's got to come in, and the light's got to go out. The light's got to come in, and the light's got to go out. The light's got to come in, and the light's got to go out. It's time for us to rise, and it's time for us to shine, because he's called us into this. And I want you to know that I love you, and I wouldn't tell you these things if I didn't love you. And I choose to love you and acknowledge what God's going to do.